right. It's good to be back in the game. As we get started, one side note, I just want to say for the young men, you guys who are planning your future, a career, a job, a business you want to start, here's something you need to know. You don't get paid for time. You don't get paid for time. You get paid for value. Value is what, now that's going to take time. You're going to punch the clock and you're going to put in your hours. But what you get paid for is value. And if you want to succeed in life, you have to increase your value. A lot of guys get caught with this. You're at a job for a year and you think, I've been here for a year, I should get a big raise. But you haven't brought any value to the company any more than you had when you were there for a month. And so if the guy who's been there for a month can do the same thing that you can after a year, you're not going to see a raise or a promotion because you're worth exactly the same to your employer. You get paid for value. So the key is to work on yourself. Work on your skill set. Work on your smile. Have a good handshake. Look someone clear in the eye. Take on responsibility. Work on your value. Become more valuable. You double your value, you can double your salary. If you do the exact same thing today that you did a year ago, your salary is going to stay the same. So work on your value. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight, but it's important. I didn't know that for a long time. And I got mad that I didn't get raises because I thought I was so much better than everyone else until someone pointed out, like, you're the same as the guy who just got here. You haven't brought any value to the boss or to your business. Increase your value and you will increase your paycheck. Stay the same, get paid the same. All right, on that happy note, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, that you have called us to yourself and you have called us to be men in this world, to exercise dominion, to work hard, to provide and protect those you have given us to love. Lord, we pray your Spirit would be upon us tonight as we learn, as we seek to grow, that you would draw near to us as we draw near to you, that we may know you better, that we be unashamed of all we have said and done and thought as we go through our lives. May we be faithful men at our post, joyful, thankful, fruitful in all we put our hands to for your glory, for our joy. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I get someone to look up some of these verses here? Look them up and we'll just read them out loud. Let's pick one from there. Proverbs 13:20. As soon as someone has it, just read it up out loud.
Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm.
One of the others. 1 Corinthians 15:33.
Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals.
Psalm 1:1.
Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
Psalm 22:24-25.
He has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear you.
That doesn't sound right at all.
That doesn't.
Psalm 22, 24, and 25?
That's what I
had. Okay, my mistake. Proverbs 27, 17.
Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another.
Proverbs 14, 7.
Leave the presence of a fool, and you have not known
the one that's missing, I don't know the address, but it says this. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. That is somewhere in the Bible. It's the mystery verse. Maybe it's Proverbs. That sounds proverbial. It's probably Proverbs. Proverbs 22, 24 to 25. I may have written Psalm. Last time in our sermon series on 2 Peter, we were talking about adding knowledge to our faith. And we had said one of the ways that we can add knowledge to our faith is through discipleship, which is what we want to talk about tonight. This is one of the means. We've been called to make every effort to add knowledge to our faith. One of the ways of gaining knowledge is through discipleship. So we want to press into that a little bit tonight. We can define discipleship very simply as helping someone grow in maturity in Christ. It's nothing fancy. That's it. Helping someone to learn and do in their lives that which God would have them learn and do. We talk together, we walk together. And I'm going to lay out some principles tonight on how to do that. If the Bible says make every effort, that means it shouldn't be an option for us. It's something that we want. We've got to figure that out. We want to grow in that. This is the Lord talking. And he says, make every effort, guys, to do this. Like, okay, so now I need to know what that is and how to do it. And so we're going to just lay out some principles here and how we can get started. Now, I want to say right off the start, I'm not looking and I don't want you to think about formal sign-up programs. Sometimes you hear that gets done. Some people sign up to be a discipler and some people sign up to be a disciplee and you kind of figure things out. That's not what we're doing. We're talking informal relationships, a simple question and answer, a prayer request, wisdom needed for a particular moment. Out of those informal conversations might come a formal connection where you meet with someone regularly every week and talk about things and have a special connection. That's all good. But we don't want an official program. Those things feel forced. They usually flame out pretty quickly. And you stand around awkwardly. And the old guy says, so how are you doing? And then the young guy says, fine. And then they do this for a little while. And then they go home and they say, well, that didn't work. Forced relationships don't generally last. So we want to start simple. Just one interaction. Something very simple. Okay, so principle number one. Don't just get together with people who are as weak as you are. We're going to talk about that a little bit further as we go on. Discipleship is not a time of common failure or self-congratulation. If you want to grow, that means you got to change. You got to change. If you want something to change, you have to change. And if all you do is circle yourself with people who are exactly like you are and struggle with the same things you are, you don't change. We're looking for wisdom, pressing into challenges. It should be a little bit uncomfortable. When iron sharpens iron, the sparks fly a little bit. If everyone's in the same spot in your circle, growth doesn't happen. You just end up pooling your ignorance. So you know what this is? My little picture here.
A pool of ignorance.
This, my friend, is a pool of ignorance. Pool of ignorance. And I'll misspell ignorance just to drive you crazy.
It's French.
When we were in Paraguay, on the ranch, my brother and I were there. We had a massive storm one night. Huge. Lightning was going, complete downpour. And it was one of the biggest lightning storms I'd ever seen. And my brother and I thought this would be a good time to go swimming. This is going to be excellent. Now, on the ranch, we had, this is ground level, we had kind of pools in different spots where the cattle could come and drink. And then one of them, you dig an extra big hole, you take all of that clay, and you make a really big hill, like an eighth hill, really big hill. You hollow that thing out, you set up a windmill. There, that's a windmill, in case you didn't know. I looked it up on the internet to see what it looked like, because I had a sunshine there before and it didn't look like a windmill. And the windmill, which is about 150-foot-high lightning rod, really, would turn in the wind and would pump the water from here up into here, fill this guy up, and then there was lines running. So now gravity-fed lines would lead all the way through the ranch. We had 700 acres or so, 700 hectares. And then it would go and fill the troughs. And so it's just a gravity thing. The wind would... And so we thought we should go swimming. We thought, wouldn't it be awesome not to swim here, but we'll swim here. We'll swim in the tallest thing we can with the lightning rod in the middle of the worst lightning storm I had ever seen. So that was my brother and me. That's me. And that's my brother. We look alike, some people say. There we are in the pool of ignorance. We didn't die, thankfully. But you see our smiles? Those are ignorant smiles. That's what that is. Those are smiles of ignorance. Not knowing we were playing with their life. Look at my brother here, waving like a maniac. There we are. We have pooled our ignorance, and we're really happy. But are we any better off? Well, no. You don't want to just pool your ignorance. We survived that night. We are still living to this day, much to the chagrin of my mother. I'm kidding. I love my mom. She loves me. It's good. But you don't want to just pool your ignorance. You're looking to change. You want to be stretched. Here's a line to remember. Failure is the cost of admission. Failure is the cost of admission. If you want to learn something, you're going to have to fail at it before you get good at it. You don't just jump on your bike and pedal away when you first learn. You crash that sucker over and over again until you figure it out. And if you're not willing to fail, if you're not willing to be embarrassed, if you're not willing to look like a fool sometimes, you're never going to learn. Failure is the cost of admission. Embarrassment is the cost of admission. And sometimes we're so afraid of failure, afraid of looking like a fool, we don't want to pay the price and we never learn. And then we're stuck. And we get together with those who are as afraid as we are, and we never grow. We need to be willing to do the work and to fail, sometimes look foolish. So getting together with others who are only like yourself is good, it's got some value. But that only ensures at the end of the day that you become more of what you already are, which includes your weakness. You need wiser people. You need wiser people in your life. So next principle, you older men, you're the ones who usually have the wisdom because you've been around longer. Here's something to remember. Be available. And being available means showing up. It means smiling. It means engaging with the younger guys. It means being willing to share what you have. You have the maturity, and God has called you to pour out your wisdom. You're called to this. Old age is not a time in life to sit around. The older, wiser men have something more valuable than jewels, your wisdom, your prayers, your counsel. And God says, don't keep it to yourself. That's not why I gave it to you. Don't hoard that wealth. You're not going to lose it by giving it away. You increase it as you spread. It's not a zero-sum game. You will increase it as you watch your sons in the faith learn and grow. So often, older men can make the mistake of thinking they have nothing left to offer while sitting on treasure chests of gold. And often they will waste their years shrinking away when these should be years of greater influence and fruitfulness than ever. It's an absolute lie to the older men that you're washed up, that you're put out to pasture, you have nothing to offer. This lie of insignificance is a deadly trap for old men. The Lord has given you these years for meaningful work and fruitfulness. Don't waste them. You're strong. Maybe your body isn't what it used to be, but you have so much to share. Be available. We're going to talk about some hang-ups as we get a little bit further into it. But you got to show up. You got to show up. You're not put out to pasture. It's not over yet. Not until the Lord calls you home. Younger men, on the flip side, be willing to receive. Here you might have an older guy coming up to you wanting to help you get to where you want to go. And sometimes it can be hard to receive it. But if you needed $50 to buy something that you really wanted, and this older fellow came and said, here's $50 to help you, well, you'd be like, awesome. Take your $50, big smile, thank you, sir. You'd go buy what it was that you wanted to buy. Next time you'd see him, you would say thank you. You guys would be friends. You'd be eager to receive. And in this instance, what we're talking about, an older man is offering you something worth 1,000 times more than those $50. The Bible says that wisdom is worth more than gold. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Proverbs 16:16. So young guys, don't just look down at your feet or work your way through life with a shrug. Young men can work so hard to look as bored as they can. You ever notice that? I was one. I remember. It's a self-protection mechanism. But you're not bored. You only get one life, guys. Just one. You're not going to get a second. You get one shot at this, one go around. Care. Care. Don't work at being bored. Don't be too cool to fail. Of course you care. This is your life. One of the biggest compliments, I don't know if you've heard this, one of the biggest compliments in the cowboy world, the rodeo world, is if they say, that kid's got a lot of try. He's got a lot of try. One of the highest compliments you can get in the rodeo, because you get bucked off. Sometimes you win, sometimes you fail miserably, but you keep getting back on. You keep getting back on. And men respect the courage. That guy got bucked off, he got hurt, he looked like a fool, he lost all his money, whatever it is. It didn't turn out for him, and look at him get back on. That kid's got a lot of try. One of the highest compliments you can get, that's courage. Being willing to try and fail, take risks, look foolish. You get stomped on. It's better to get stomped on in the arena than it is to sit up there in the stands. Keep trying. So young men, be worthy of respect. That means trying. Keep getting on that thing. Being ignorant or broke and alone doesn't help you at all. Being too cool doesn't help anybody. The strength and the glory of young men, and there's a lot of strength and a lot of glory there, that has become idolized in our culture. And so people try to hang on to that as long as they can. It's not wise at all. You get old men who are still acting like they're 13 because they're trying to maintain that. Have a lot of try. For me, here's my big secret. It's not a secret, but my biggest secret to achieving in life, to getting to wherever it is that I happen to be, whatever I have accomplished, my secret is this: to growing and winning. This is how I've done it all these years. This is my formula. Trust God and keep showing up. That's it. That's what I've done through all of it. That has been the drive of my life. Trust God and keep showing up. That's the game. When you don't know what to do, you show up anyway. And I don't mean just show up and sit there doing nothing. Showing up means trying. I'm in. We've had some rough seasons. I've mentioned this here before. We've had some rough seasons in the church over the years, right? You have difficulties. And there's been a number of occasions when I've gone home and told Marcella, we're done. We're cooked, right? We're not getting out of this one. There's no way out that I can find. This thing is breaking down. And I got to go back tomorrow. I don't know what to do. I said that a number of times 20 years ago. I said that 10 years ago. Look at us go. Look what the Lord has done. You keep showing up. You trust the Lord. He knows the way through. If we had quit when it was hard, we would never have known the glory of the Lord overcoming some trials. I had no idea how we could get out of them. No idea. So showing up means trying. You know, Milt Stegel, he was the wide receiver for the Bombers for many years. Some of you guys might know Milt Stegel. He was great. The touchdown beagle, the turtle man. Turtle man, he did 200 sit-ups a day. Every single day, and he, you know, you curl up, he was the turtle man. Or Milt Stegel, the touchdown beagle. Both nicknames are terrible. That's not the point of my story. He was great. He was great. And he always said, when he committed to something, he said, I'm all in. Like, if I'm going to do it, 100%. 100%. He goes, I'm the first guy there. I dress the best. And I'm front and center. I'm there to learn. And so he said, if I take up a knitting class, I'm going to be right there. I'm all in. I'm going to be the best knitter I can possibly be. If I'm in, I'm in all the way. I was always inspired by that attitude. If I'm going for it, I'm going for it. And I'm not ashamed of what it is that I'm doing. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to show up. That's the recipe. Being all in. It means doing the work. It means coming when you know you're going to lose, when you're going to look foolish. You show up anyway. You trust God and you keep going. Take another step. You keep showing up. That's how you outlast them. That's how you win. There are no shortcuts. The world is full of quitters. They quit when it's hard. They quit when they fail, when it's unfair, when they get hurt, when they're embarrassed, when they get bored. This is boring, and they quit. The world is full of quitters. Quitters and pretenders. We got piles of them. The one who keeps showing up to do the work, they're going to win. You need a lot of try in this life. Failure is the price of admission. You keep showing up. And if you're bored, you show up anyway. There's work to do. And the glorious thing for us is that God has called us as men to do things. It's not meaningless what we're doing. We're not wasting our time. We're not wasting our lives. Coming isn't a waste of an evening. God has called us to grow. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's boring. Sometimes it's confusing. Maybe embarrassing when you stumbled a little bit. This is one of the ways that God has given us to grow in discipleship, getting help with our burdens, getting wisdom, listening closely, humbling ourselves to the process. So we just want to be simple. We just want to be real. We don't want to make it complicated. Start small. Have a conversation, one-on-one. Ask a question, answer a question, and let it go, or let it grow. We want to, in this place, foster relationships where it's normal to talk about spiritual things. It's not odd for some of the young men to come and pull me aside and say, can I ask you a question? Sure, no problem. It's not odd for me to go to some of the young men and say, how are you doing, and get a real answer. We want to foster that type of life where we take responsibility for our discipleship. We take responsibility for one another. So we want to step in. We want to try. We want to make that culture, the richness of that culture, the wisdom, the prayer, and the brotherhood. And the next generation coming up will grow up confident in their faith, knowing what's important in life, knowing how to pursue it, where to get help, having courage to face the dangers of their generation. You guys are going to face it. You're going to have your own. Where the young men would know what it means to be men, and the older generation would have the joy of seeing those men walk in truth. That's what we want. Oh, that's beautiful. And that's strong. The West has idolized the individual, right? The rugged individual. That's what all the movies are. It's always one hero who stands out. You think of all those great movies like the Rambos and the Die Hards and all those. There's always one guy who overcomes everything. If those are good movies, I don't know. But it's the one guy, right? The individual, rugged individual. He overcomes everything. That's not what the Lord has given us. He's given us a brotherhood. And he has said, bear one another's burdens. Walk together, guys. Learn. You're warriors in a battle. Help each other out. So the Bible tells us what to do. And it's simple and it's obvious. Hang out with someone who's wiser than you and listen to them. That's it. That's simple, but we don't often do it, right? But it's obvious. If you don't know the way to your destination, you ask someone who does. Right? That's simple. Here, look at this. This is an enamel-covered cast iron roaster, probably made in the 60s somewhere. It's old, it's beat up, it's a little ugly, and I bought it on fraud sale yesterday. But it's awesome. I'm going to roast a chicken. I'm going to roast a chicken in there. That's going to be great. Look at that thing. So what did I do? I saw it posted on fraud sale. I said I was interested. We agreed on a price. And then what did I say? How do I get to your place? I didn't know how to get there. The kind lady gave me directions. Now look what I got. Marcella doesn't find it as delightful as me. But she's going to like the chicken I make in there.
Will she?
She will. Oh, I told her that she will. It's going to be good. But it's simple, right? If you don't know the way to your destination, you ask somebody. In our journey of faith, we need people to show us the way. To help us get to where we want to go. Other men have been there. They know the way. Like that saying goes, if you don't change direction, you're going to end up where you're headed. Sometimes we need to change direction. And sometimes we don't even know it. And someone has to help us. It's like the foolish young man in Proverbs who's led astray by the wayward woman in Proverbs 7. He thinks the path before him is pretty great. But this is the result. All at once he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. This foolish man doesn't know that he's on the paths of the dead that lead down to hell. He doesn't know. To his eyes, he sees a pretty woman. She looks nice, desirable, she's enticing. He thinks this is a good idea. But to the one who knows, one who has wisdom, instead of a pretty face, he sees a killer out for blood. He sees a sudden arrow to the liver. He sees a descent into the fires of hell. The foolish man sees something desirable, and a wise man sees death. And we need those with wisdom who see correctly to keep us from making big mistakes. We need mentors and guides and counselors. The reason that you do the things that you do in your life is because you think that's the way to go. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing them. You think this is better. It's worth whatever price I need to pay. This is what I feel like doing. That's why you do it. We think the way we think, we act the way we act, because that's what looks right. What is wise, or what is easiest, or most fun? And what does the Bible say about the person who is wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. If we're unwilling to listen to the wisdom of others, we are the fool in the story. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. God has told us. And we need true wisdom, not just fairy dust opinions. And that's why the scriptures are our ultimate source of wisdom. Under the guidance of the word, we need preachers and teachers and parents and mentors, brothers, those who come alongside and exhort us, encourage us, pick us up when we fall, bear our burdens, show us how it's done. We've been given all the one another's in scripture. This is a means to maturity. We all need it. So we don't have it figured out. None of us do. So you're not supposed to just surround yourself, as we said, with people who think just like you and agree with you. Jesus said it. We surround ourselves with people who tell us what our itching ears want to hear. And you see this all the time in people who are struggling with a similar sin, and they get together to disciple one another. And a lot of good can happen. I'm just not shooting that down. But this is often what happens. Someone's struggling with lust, right? It's a common one. And they confess that to a brother, and they say, yeah, I struggle with that too. Confess it to another brother, yeah, I struggle with that too. Well, let's get together. We can encourage each other, okay? Good. Do that. But what so often happens? You get together, and one will confess, I fell again this week. I gave in to lust. The next one says, yeah, I did too. Third one is like, yeah, I did too. Oh, but no one knows the way out. No one knows the way out. And they're like, well, we got the gospel. And they're like, yeah, we got the gospel. All right, brothers, let's go. And then the next week, I fell again. And the next one says, yeah, so did I. And to be encouraged in the gospel is good. To have brothers who know the temptation is good. But if nobody knows the way out, you never get out. You need someone who has the wisdom and the courage to say, my brother, don't be deceived. The sexually immoral don't inherit the kingdom. What you're doing is on the road to destruction. Let's find the way out. You need brothers who will tell you that. Hit you square in the chops with the truth. Don't be coddled in your sin. It's much easier to confess a sin to someone who struggles with the same one you do, right? Because you know you're going to have some understanding there. But to confess to a brother who's going to hit you with the word of God, speak the truth in love, and guide you out, show you the way, that's different. And that's what we want. We're looking for those types of relationships. Find someone who is wiser than you. Listen to them. Growing Christians, if you are growing, you find motivation not to sin in the gospel. Shrinking Christians, backsliding, if you want to use that phrase, they find excuses to sin in the gospel. You ever done that? You're faced with temptation. You're like, well, the gospel is true. I can repent after. Maybe I can get away with this. I'll sin and then I'll repent. And they see in the gospel an excuse to sin. And yes, there is forgiveness, but not as an excuse to sin. One who is growing sees the gospel and says, my Lord died for me. And I live now in him. How can I go back to that? And the gospel is motivation not to sin. We want to surround ourselves with men who understand the gospel at that level, where they're motivated not to sin. Next sermon in the 2 Peter series that we're on, we want to add self-control to our faith. Self-control. Who doesn't need a bit of that, right? We're going to learn. How do we add self-control? So many of us don't know how to do it. We know I should stop sinning. Thank you. Yes, I should. But how do I do that? What's the way out? Right? We so often agree. Say, that's sin. Stop it. You know? Yeah, thanks for the tip. That's great. But I don't know how to do it. We want to learn how. So in that sermon, we're going to dig more into how, but here's one of the ways we do it. If you don't know how, find someone who does. There are brothers who have walked it before, and they know the way. So you don't want to surround yourself with people who are just like you. You want to find those who are wiser and more mature in the faith. That's the ticket. So it's clear we need people in our lives who are wise, who are competent in the word, who are living lives worthy of imitation. Like Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Don't imitate me just because it's me. I'm going to let you down. But as I imitate Christ, Paul says, imitate me. Find someone. It's good. We want this type of input in our life. Now, there are two main things that stop us from pursuing these types of relationships. Right? We want to start informal. Ask a question, answer a question. And then let it be. And then let it be. Make that normal. Be willing to give, be willing to receive. But there's two things that stop on both sides. If you are a discipler or a disciplee, same things, pride and fear. Pride and fear stops just about all good discipleship. So we have pride in the one doing the discipling. So I'm the mentor, I'm the older man, I'm supposed to have wisdom. Pride is a trap for the wise man. Even though he be wise, this is a trap. This comes to one who kind of likes to be the boss. I like to know something you don't know. Makes me feel good about myself, especially if I've been feeling a little down, I have nothing to contribute, and a situation comes up, it's like, oh, I know the answer. Instead of sharing it humbly, I would be tempted to pride. So if you are discipling someone, beware of your pride. Guard your words by the word. Let your counsel be based on wisdom. You have to know the difference between opinions and the word. You can give your opinions. You can give strong counsel based on the wisdom that I have. I think this would be wise. Right? Guard it. And sometimes you'll say, here, this is what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord. There's a difference between one's opinion and the word. And a wise man has to know that. Let your counsel be based on wisdom. Now, you remember in 2 Chronicles 10, the story of Rehoboam and his advisors. There are those who told him to be harsh with the people. He was wondering, I'm now the king. What should I do? And he goes to different advisors. And these advisors say, you should be harsh with the people. You think my dad was tough. Wait till you get a load of me. And it was terrible counsel. They wanted that power. They wanted control. There's pride. So if you are giving counsel, don't let pride ruin your position of authority in a young man's life. Guard your heart. Guard it with the wisdom of the word. We are not the heroes here. God is. We know the difference. We should know the difference between opinion and the word. And then we have pride in the one being discipled, the young men. As a young man, it's hard being told what to do. I guess I can tell the story. It's a long time ago. When I was a younger guy, I caused a lot of trouble. And I remember in this church, in some of my early years, there was a membership meeting. I don't remember what it was we were talking about, but I didn't like it. And I was a young guy, I was sitting right there. And I stood up in the meeting, I got something to say. Okay, young Chad has something to say. I think the whole elder board should disband until they can get their stuff together or they can just repent and go home. It's done. And here I was, I think I was 19. Yeah, whole elder board, all of you old guys, the guy, they're all there, right? You all need to stand down. You need to stand down. And one older fellow stood up, Ernie. Ernie P. Tapes. Ernie P. Tapes, yeah. He stood up. He shut me down pretty hard, which I needed. And so, did I learn my lesson? No. I didn't learn my lesson. I called the elders to ask if I could come to another meeting. And so, man, they were kind to me. And they said, sure, you come. Like, all right. So I came with my list of things that I was unhappy with, angry young men. And I lit them up. Up one side, down the other. There I was in all my pride. And they were so kind and so gracious to me. Garn was there that night. He was so awesome. And years later, as I remembered what he said to me, I was blown away by his kindness, by his graciousness. He could have crushed me. He could have ruined me. And that old man loved me, put me in my place. And he couldn't have been kinder. And it took me a number of years to figure that out, what he had done for me that night. I was proud. I was proud. Even though some of the things I wanted to talk about, I would still say were correct. Yeah, there were things, sure. I wasn't blind. There were things that needed adjusting, but my pride stopped me from being helpful and from being helped. And I need an older man to pull me aside. There was a few who did. It changed my life. Then you have fear in the one doing the discipling, the older one, often afraid. You often hear, I have nothing to offer. I don't know what to say. What if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? I still feel like I need someone to disciple me. Right? What if I mislead this young man? And we think of Moses. Lord, not me. I can't do it. I'm no good. What does that attitude do other than please or displease God? God called Moses, therefore God equipped Moses. God's not a cheapskate asking you to do something he doesn't give you the grace to do. God calls us to be men of courage and obedience. God has given us a duty. So men, you are called. Older men, you are called. And the call is not to sit on the sidelines and watch the young men struggle and make mistakes. We're called to fight our fear and get in the game. As they say, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. And then, of course, we have fear in the one being discipled. The young men often wonder, do I have what it takes? Am I going to look like a fool? I can't do it. I can't measure up. What if I fail? And fear keeps many a young man from growing because they haven't yet learned that failure is the cost of admission. The road to success is full of failure. That's how you get there. You're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to skin those knees. You're going to get back on that bike. And the day will come when you master it. Failure is the cost of admission. So young guys, don't let fear stop you. For everybody who wants to grow, whether you are a discipler or a disciplee, or if you are both, which is ideal, be pouring into someone and having someone pour into you. Hear this from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 2. This is what the Lord says. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. The flames will not set you ablaze. And all of it we hear the psalmist say, with God we will do valiantly. On my own, I am weak. Very much so. And yet we hear the psalmist say, with God we will do valiantly. We want to deal with our pride and deal with our fear. So I don't want you guys to leave here thinking, that's a pretty good idea. Maybe one day. I want you to hear it from the word. Discipleship is good. The training is good. Discipline is good. Accountability is good. Sparks flying in the relationships is good. Awkward conversations, pushing forward for growth is good. I want you to walk away saying, the brotherhood is good. I'm going to be a part of what's going on here. I'm going to open my heart to give. I'm going to open my heart to receive. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. Take small steps. Ask one question, answer one question, and then let it go or let it grow. It's all good. Start small. Start informal. We ramp this up so much to some impossible level where we end up not doing anything because it seems so crazy. But we're brothers. We take responsibility for one another. We want to have something that's real, something that builds and accomplishes God's purpose here in the world. Real life, real meaning, real battles to fight, real marriages, real dominion, real fruitfulness, real worship, and real joy. So show up and keep showing up. Trust God and keep showing up. Do the work. Always remember, failure is the cost of admission. Don't let that stop you. Don't let it stop you. It has stopped way too many men, and they shrink away because they're afraid of failure. But those guys you admire so much have come so far, and whatever skill they have or have come so far in the faith, ask them their story, and they're going to tell you a lifetime of wrecking and crashing and burning and making mistakes and getting hurt and screwing things up and getting back up again. That's how it's done. You trust the Lord, and you keep showing up. Failure is the cost of admission. We all pay it if you want to grow. Refusal to pay the fee keeps you outside, keeps you weak, immature, so cool, so bored, and so unblessed. The wisdom of old men being poured into the strength of the young men. from glory to glory. This is one of the means of knowledge that the Lord has given us. We talked about the word, we talked about suffering, and we talked about discipleship. Tonight it's just talking about discipleship. It's one of the main means that God has given us to grow. Don't hide what's in here. Don't hide. That's the easiest thing to do. Think we can figure it out ourselves. It's the great lie of sin. It's the great lie of sin. I'll behave myself if you just let me hang out in the corner over here. I won't do anything. Right? We think that. We think it's just, okay, I won't confess. The sin is either too big to confess or too small. If it's too big, it's too big. If I say anything, everything's just going to blow up. I'm going to ruin everybody's life, ruin my own life. Or it's too small, I got it under control. Whatever. The great lie is sin's like, I won't bother if you, I'll behave if you just let me stay here. It's not true. It's a killer. And sometimes we need a wise man to come forward and say, that's the paths of the dead. Don't be deceived, brother. Bring it to the light. Bring it to the light. We want real faith. As we step into real faith and God leads us into what's next, you can bet there's adventures ahead. It's going to hurt sometimes. It's going to get rowdy, but you won't be bored. The Lord leads his men into battle and into victory. There's so much to be done. But before we get out there to change the world, we've got to change it here. Staying in the light, pressing into the light. And for that, we need one another. No lone rangers in the church. No lone rangers in the faith. We walk together. We bear each other's burdens. We open it up, and away we go. This is the great gift of the Lord to us. Let's not squander the gift of discipleship. But we press on. And so press on, brothers.